Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello, friends. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. I've got the Heidi St. John with us again. Are you ready to hear from her? She just got back from Australia. Her website, HeidiSt.John.net. You can find her on all the social media outlets. And we just appreciate you guys tuning in. And Heidi, we appreciate your time. Good to see you, sister.
Hey, my friend. It's great to see you. Great to be back in the States. I'm always happy to come home.
Yes, let's catch up. So you were in Australia. Let's start right there and tell me about the trip. You were over there speaking, the comparisons with the climate there spiritually with Australia to America. What are some takeaways?
Well, lots and lots of takeaways. I think the big one, when you say climate, the first thing, of course, that came to my mind was it's summertime in Australia right now. So I went from, you know, wintertime and really cold weathers, cold temperatures here to 90 plus degrees every day that we were there. The country of Australia is an amazing place to be. I was really surprised at how deeply into a nanny state Australia has become. There are cameras literally everywhere in Australia. You know, as most of you will remember, during COVID, they were one of the most locked down nations in the world. Yeah. Victoria in Australia, really, really hardcore into socialism. I also found something really interesting about the Australians that I didn't know, and that is they do not have the freedom of religion in Australia that we enjoy here in the United States. They have freedom of association, but they do not have freedom of religion technically. And so it's a very spiritually dark place. I think that we do not see a lot of just, you know, gospel messaging there. And so that's what I was doing there. I was traveling with my friend Ken Ham and the team from Answers in Genesis for a tour that they were calling the Gospel Reset Tour, back to the beginning. So we were just taking people back to the authority of Scripture, and they are starving for it over there. We went back, we talked about marriage and family. Interesting to note that in Canada, many of the Christian schools are taking money from the government, and as such, they are teaching government mandated curriculum there. Mm-hmm. I saw many examples of curriculum from Christian schools in Australia that are teaching gender ideology, radical gender ideology, promoting homosexuality. It's really amazing what happens when Christians cede the territory. And certainly I saw a lot of that in Australia. I also think it's really important to point out that the people there were extraordinary. And I had the opportunity to pray with a lot of people. We saw lives being changed. We saw the gospel go forward with power. The world needs Jesus. And the gospel changes people. And we saw that happening in real time in both Melbourne and the Sunshine Coast. So just an extraordinary event.
So Heidi, rewind just a little bit. I want to make sure I heard something correctly. Did you say Christian schools and gender ideology? And if so, did you mean Christian schools?
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what I mean. And in fact, I spoke at a place where maybe the night before, one of the parents who have a child in that Christian school sent me a PDF from a workbook that their daughter was going through in the fourth grade. And it was talking about how you feel on the inside and that your gender may not conform with your biology. And this is garbage. And this is what happens, David. And it's really important to point this out. This is what happens when Christians try to Christianize secular education. When the foundation is off and our foundation is not the Bible, good luck with the rest of it. You get the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You get the Leaning Tower of, you know, of Christian thinking, because it's not built on the foundation of God's word. We shouldn't be asking what the world thinks about gender and sexuality. We should be asking what God thinks. And God gives the answers to all these questions in Genesis 1 to 11. Every question that we are asking right now in the culture as Christians has already been answered in Genesis 1 to 11, which is why we're taking God's people back to the beginning.
Amen. We've got Ken Ham coming up in a few weeks here on an episode of Worldview Matters.
Well, tell him hi for me.
I will. I will. And when the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's a psalm or a proverb. I think it's a psalm. Proverb.
Yes.
When the foundation, so because he talks, you guys all talk about foundations. We talk about the biblical worldview here. If we don't have a foundation and then build on that and understand how to defend the faith and talk about scripture. Okay. So anything else before we move back to the United States? Anything else from Australia?
Well, I thought it was also interesting that they're wrestling quite a bit with home education. And so I talked quite a bit about homeschooling. I talked quite a bit about the structure of the family as God designed it. And as it turns out, God's design was the best one. And that feminism has stolen from women this beautiful opportunity that God gives us to shepherd and care for children. This is God's design. And so we talked about that quite a bit. Think about the propaganda, David, that it has taken in the world coming from the enemy, because it's his propaganda, that would convince generations of women to murder their own babies. We were never created to do that. And of course, we live in a fallen world because of sin. But it was an interesting, we were having really interesting discussions about the role of women in the culture and how God sees us. And I think it's really important that we have those conversations. Again, femininity is a gift from God. Feminism, on the other hand, is a lie from the enemy.
Amen. Nice transition. Something I wanted to talk to you about. Speaking of God's design, and you know where I'm going with this, I do want to talk about the controversy of the U.S. men's Olympic hockey team being proud of their country. But let's talk about Alyssa Liu. This story to me has flown under the radar. Friends, I didn't hear about this until toward the end of the Olympics, and I had to look it up. Apparently, this Olympian, someone proudly said, shows us the power of designer babies. In other words, her father, his name is Arthur, used a surrogate, I believe, with her and her siblings. So there's Slate, which I do not recommend that website, but they're proudly saying, Alyssa Liu's dad becomes a single father via surrogacy. How common is that? So Heidi, this is some, we talked before we got on the podcast, this is some of the rotten fruit of Obergefell in 2015, removing the necessity of a father and mother and marriage, redefining marriage. Whatever you'd like to share about this, your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm really glad you're highlighting this. And actually, in the green room, we were talking about this. I didn't know that that was her history. And it's interesting because the conversation around IVF is becoming very heated here in the United States. I have become part of a movement that my friend Katie Faust started called the Greater Than Campaign. And the whole point of Greater Than is to overturn Obergefell because of the damage that it is doing to children. Children have not only a right to life, which we know comes from God, but it is even enshrined in our Constitution here in the United States that we have been given the right to life. And we also have children have a right, a natural God-given right to their mother and their father. And IVF and surrogacy really strips them of that natural right to life. It's interesting to note, too, for IVF and those people who are not familiar with IVF, basically it just means that these babies are being created in laboratories. And we extract a sperm from a donor and an egg from a donor and sometimes even a womb from a donor via surrogacy. So you could have completely unrelated, all third parties. It usually takes, right, a husband and a wife to create a baby. And now we're talking about three unique individuals coming together and money is changing hands to create these babies. And most of the time when a surrogate is used or even IVF, they create a minimum of 5 embryos and sometimes as many as 35 embryos because the failure rate is so high. Wow. The vast majority of these embryos don't survive. 97% of the babies that we create through IVF and surrogacy do not survive the process. They don't survive the genetic testing. We highly encourage in this country and around the world sex selection. And so we'll abort the embryos that survive based on whether or not they're male or female. And what we're doing is that we are commodifying children. This is the dirty underbelly of the IVF industry.
So let me just read part of what we just showed you. There's a movement that's proud of this now. And we were talking earlier, when man becomes God, this is one of the consequences. I'm quoting them. This is a brilliant idea, designer babies. that almost any woman and wealthy man can emulate. Instead of settling for less than remarkable partners, select a donor with the very best genes and have remarkable children. Heidi, what could go wrong?
Well, first of all, can we just say you don't get remarkable children from genes, you knucklehead? You get it from training in righteousness. We get it from loving our children. Your children are not going to come to you with remarkable genes and then all of a sudden become remarkable people. And this, the same is true of this amazing figure skater. She didn't win because she had remarkable genes. She won because of discipline. She won because of hard work. She won because she found something she loved to do and she pursued it with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so the idea that we can give parents a designer baby and that the genes are going to determine the outcome is ludicrous on its face. I can think of lots of people who came from very poor backgrounds, and maybe you could go, well, that genetic pool wasn't that great, and they turned around to do amazing things with their lives. It has very little to do with genetics. What these people would do also, it's important to note, is if they found a faulty gene or it was faulty genetics, they'll just kill the baby before it ever has a chance to take a breath outside of its mother's womb. This whole idea of commodifying children is evil on its face, and God's people need to start speaking out against it.
Yes. And what are these others in this movement on the other side of this worldview doing? They're calling evil good.
That's
so
right.
We're going to talk about the State of the Union in a minute. There's so much to get to with Heidi, but I want to stay on the Olympics for a moment and talk about the men's hockey team. I was so proud of these blue-collar men that were proud not only to represent America. There it is. We're going to watch the very last goal in overtime where we beat Canada.
Come on.
Yes, freedom won over socialism right here.
That's right.
Pass it over. Yeah, all right. There it is.
Let's go.
Yep. Jack Hughes got the gold, or the winning goal right there in overtime, and the place went nuts. They were invited to the White House. They proudly accepted. Because why? Because they were proud of their country. They were thankful to represent America. Charlie Kirk once said, when you go to the Olympics to be an ambassador for the United States, I look at the Olympics, I'm paraphrasing Charlie Kirk, he said, I look at the Olympics as nonviolent geopolitical warfare on the biggest stage. Biggest stage in the world, the Olympics. And I want to quote Jack Hughes. He's the one that scored the game winner there that we just saw, that hopefully you saw it live. I saw about 100 replays. I can't stop watching it. Just such a great moment for America, both the men's and the women's teams. But Jack Hughes said post-game, his first interview, this is all about our country right now. I love the USA. I love my teammates. The USA Hockey Brotherhood is so strong, and I'm so proud to be an American tonight. That's right after he won, teeth knocked out, bleeding, sweating, hair in his face. And he said, there you go. Bring up that picture, Jeff. I love this.
He's a hockey cowboy.
Yeah. He said in another interview, I'm lucky to be from the best country in the world. We have great dentists there, too. Of course, he said that when he was in Italy. But so now let's go on to the next part of the story. They come home. They get invited to the State of the Union. Because Cash Patel was a hockey player. He's in the men's locker room in Italy celebrating with them. And he calls Trump. Trump congratulates them, invites them to the White House. And then we got this picture of Caroline Leavitt with some of the guys, five of the guys. They're USA, USA, USA. And one of them's wearing a MAGA hat. Bum, bum,
wah,
bum.
Wah, wah, wah.
So I'm proud of these guys. Who knows a lot of the details here, but they went to the White House. They went to the State of the Union. Some of them had to fly back. But Heidi, these guys have taken a lot of heat from the leftists. I can't think of more of a blue-collar sport. The NBA, you know, they're, I don't know how many of them would be proud to represent America. Maybe I'm wrong to call the NBA out. But your thoughts on this controversy? It happens, I think, every time there's an Olympics. I think it happens.
Well, it didn't used to happen in the 80s. I mean, I remember watching the Olympics when I was in high school, and everyone, the Olympics united us. We were united around it. Let's go. Let's win. Right. Yep. And now what do we have because of the radical left? We kneel for the national anthem. I mean, this is new. It's relatively new because up until about 5 minutes ago, we all loved our country. And the radical left in this country hates the country. And anyone who loves the country, they despise. And if you love your president, they despise you. Up until about 5 minutes ago, we may not have all loved Barack Obama, but we were sure rooting for the Olympians to bring home the gold, right? And so this is new. And we see it reflected in the radical left in this country, the Marxists and the socialists, people who fall in line with Zohran Mamdani over there in New York City, which he's trashing all the heck, by the way. Amazing. It's amazing. They touched the stove and now they're going to get burned. This is what happens when we forsake the love of country in our nation and in our schools. We don't teach our kids to love the country anymore. We're teaching them that they're living on stolen land, that they should be embarrassed to be Americans. Heidi St. John is proud of this country. We live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. And if the Democrats have their way, they're going to burn it to the ground. And that's the truth. Starting with patriotism. Patriotism should never be up for debate. If you live in the United States, you should love it or leave it. You don't like it, work to make it better. But don't stand there and kneel for the national anthem and despise our boys who come home with the gold. Shame on the Democrats. Yeah. This is all, you can lay this 100% at the feet of the Democrat Party.
Yep. Yeah, the left, because they want to change America. They don't have a biblical worldview. They want a different country. There are more socialists on that side, but that's for a whole nother podcast. Heidi, let's move on before we run out of time. The president gave a State of the Union address, and of course, the men's hockey team showed up there and they congratulated them. But I want to get to a line that he said the response was telling, and you put this on your Facebook page at the time. This was couple weeks ago. President Trump said, if you agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens. Every person in there should have stood up, but the left, the Democrats, the communists did not. That was something I hope more people pay attention to. Your thoughts?
Well, it's 100% commercial gold because they're going to use it. The Republicans are going to use that in the midterm elections to remind the American people that in this country, the Democrats will prioritize the wants and desires of illegal aliens, illegal immigrants in the United States over the needs of the American people. And so Trump is wicked smart. He knew these people are crazy enough to not stand up, which is why he asked the question in the first place. Wow. And then they're just shown to be who they absolutely are. People who hate the country, who believe we're living on stolen land, who would rather see the border invasion of Joe Biden than the secure borders of the Trump administration. And it's a reflection of where this country is headed. We are more divided than we have ever been. And I think you can dial this all the way back to Barack Obama. I remember Michelle Obama saying she was embarrassed to be an American. Well, you know what? I'm embarrassed that Michelle Obama ever got anywhere near the White House, because they have done more to divide this country than any president in the history of our country. And we are still paying for it today with the modern Democrat Party. And Trump exposed them for the anti-American cowards that they are. Good for him. I'm glad he did it.
Yep, it was really telling. I mean, even the woman, Irina Zarutska's mother was there, daughter was murdered on the subway by the felon, the career criminal.
And they saw it.
They didn't stand. The left, the Democrats, did not stand for her. And there was another case where they didn't stand. You said this a while back. I think the last time, maybe a couple podcasts ago, you said, we are not the same. Yep. Different worldviews, different gods. And so, Heidi, with that in mind, there's some mental health issues. We mentioned Obergefell. There's a lot of rotten fruit that has come from that. Part of that is the T, LGBT, the transgender movement. Jeff, bring up this graph where it shows that transgender individuals commit disproportionate shares of mass public and active shooting attacks. And this is according to the Crime Prevention Research Center, the CPRC. Look at that. This is data from 2018 to 2024. I mean, people are not seeing this in the media. They're not seeing this in education or academia. Where do they get this information unless they're following certain conservative outlets? We need to be talking about this. This is not going to go away, is it?
No, it's not going to go away because we won't address it. You know, we want to pretend that there is such a thing as a transgender individual. Guess what? Newsflash, we are created in the image of God, male and female. Full stop. Full stop. There is no such thing as a transgender person. And until we stop using this ridiculous language, until we stop talking about this as if it is something that is normal and should be acceptable behavior in American society, we're going to continue to have these problems. We've normalized mental illness. And in fact, not only have we normalized it, we've given it a platform. We have a congressperson right now, a man in Congress who masquerades around as a woman. We have got to stop normalizing this. And I mean, this is what you see happening in sports. Gavin Newsom, who is a coward on almost every front, is now recognizing that the left has gone too far with this issue. And even Gavin Newsom said in an interview that I heard a couple of days ago, he said, you know what, we should probably get back to more normal policies. You think men are not women, women are not men, and the answer to someone who thinks they're born in the wrong body is not to give them mutilating surgeries and cross-sex hormones. The answer is to love them and to remind them that they were made in the image of God and to help them see themselves exactly how God already made them and remind them that they're beautiful just the way they are. That's how you heal the human heart and the human mind, not by mutilating surgeries and cross-sex hormones.
Amen. If we love our neighbors, we will tell them the truth.
The truth.
No matter how popular or unpopular it is, no matter what kind of reaction we might get. But Heidi, there was also an image or a story I saw comparing the young woman that was there that was, I guess, the teachers tried to transition her. He was at the State of the Union address when Trump was speaking to her. Without her parents knowing. And then contrast that with that Democrat representative, the man that was over there, sitting over there, and who would not clap because this woman, this young woman went through so much. So really briefly, we've only got about 5 minutes left, but I wanted to touch on the media. I'm thankful that less and less people trust the media anymore. There's the legacy media collapse. According to Pew, 6% have a great deal of confidence that the journalists that they act in the public's best interest. 6%. 57% of Americans have little or no confidence that journalists have the American people's interests in mind. And we could go on, Gallup, but let's compare one more thing and I'll let you talk about this. 70% in 1972 trusted the media, and that's down to 28% today. To me, it should be lower, but I'm glad it's going in that direction because we know the media certainly does not represent us. What do you say?
Yeah, it should be zero. The percentage should be zero. People who trust the media. We learned this in COVID. We've watched now. And this is important because the media is not neutral. I'm not neutral. I'm going to sit here and talk to you about the world as I see it through the lens of God's word. Yes. And Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. So if someone is not for God, then by definition, he is then against God. It shouldn't surprise us that we've been lied to and propagandized by the media now for generations in this country. And I thank God that they've finally been unmasked for the liars and propagandists that they are. And the only answer to a bold lie, and I've said this many times on your show, I believe, David, the only answer to a bold lie is bold truth. Mm. And Christians need to be more bold in their defense of the truth. That's why we're so bold in our defense of marriage as God designed it. That's why we're so bold in saying that there's only two genders, male and female. And we will not tolerate men in our women's locker rooms and boys and girls sports. It's a ridiculous notion. And we need to tell the truth because we've learned for a fact that the media is not going to do it. And we saw, you know, you've seen, I'm sure, Operation Mockingbird, where you can see that they're all reading from the same script. Who's writing the script? Oh, I know. The modern propagandists, the Marxists and the leftists who've controlled our media in this country for generations. Enough is enough. I'm glad to see shows like yours getting so much traction and messages like yours getting out there into the media space that used to be predominantly owned by the left in this country. It's high time. I welcome it.
So, along those lines, this is very interesting. With the distrust of the media, there's a lot of sources on social media, and there's a lot of other places people get information, but Christians need to be so darn discerning in this day and age. And then we've got bring AI into the mix. So what do you think about that, Heidi? Because we can, even though we don't go to certain outlets or the media, we don't trust them anymore, we might still get inaccurate information somewhere else. Just your thoughts on discernment for a minute or two.
Well, I think it goes back to what we were talking about at the top of this show today about the so-called Christian curriculum in these schools that we're teaching our children. Spurgeon noted that we had a discernment program problem a long time ago. He said that discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right. This is the difference between changing your avatar on your social media in the front, being confronted with Black Lives Matter. We didn't do our homework, but we wanted to be seen as sympathetic. And so we changed our avatars to a Marxist movement who didn't care at all about Black lives. They didn't care about the Black unborn. They don't care about Black police officers. They don't care about the Black conservatives. They shouldn't even be saying Black Lives Matter because they didn't. They never meant it. They were pushing a political agenda. We've got to do a better job of finding out where the roots of these movements are coming from, asking the Lord to show us, and God will show us. The book of James tells us that if we lack wisdom, we can ask it from God and he'll give it to us, not sparingly, but generously, without holding back. And God's people need to ask for wisdom now more than they've ever done it.
Good point. We do need to ask for wisdom. He does promise to give it. So praise God for you, Heidi, for that reminder. It's very important. So we've got about a minute and a half. Just any closing thoughts on either you're getting back from Australia, what you're doing now, what you have coming up? What would you like to share?
Well, I am going to be all over the country this year speaking, and so I'd love for people to come out and say hello. My whole thing, and this is why I do my podcast, I want to see Christians get off the bench and onto the battlefield. I want to see them engage at the intersection of faith and culture. We're not here for no reason. We could have been here 100 years ago or 100 years from now, but God in his mercy has said, this is our time. It's your life, everybody. Show up for it. God would have you show up. He would have you speak truth wherever he gives you opportunity to do so. And we need to do it. We need to be standing in defense of God's design for family and standing up for our country. I love to see Christians running for office. I think we should be having political conversations. David, it's one of the reasons I love your show so much. You're encouraging people to get off the bench and onto the battlefield. And boy, that's where God's people need to be.
Yes. And it is a battlefield. It is a battleship, not a cruise ship. Right? Oh my goodness, we've been sold comfort and leisure. And no, we need to redeem the time. We need to have a sense of urgency. Who knows how much time we have left? But Heidi, thank you so much for all you do. God bless you, sister. Lord willing, we'll do it again.
David, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Friends, share this one too. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. See you next time.